is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca, and for the third consecutive week, Anthony, of course, my partner Anthony Pusick, we're without EJ Raddick. Now, we are going to have him Wednesday.
I don't understand.
He's very, very busy.
I understand.
And I text him, was that a good thing or a bad thing? And he said it's a good thing. So he's got a lot going on, a lot on his plate, and obviously we are the bastard stepchild of his life, so we're going to have to march on without him.
It's very
Hopefully
upsetting.
We'll be able to do all right.
Very upsetting.
I know. I told Anthony off the air, and he said he wouldn't like what he was about to say, so
I'm good.
It was left unsaid.
I'm
so
good.
We'll save it for maybe Wednesday.
I'm good.
We'll be able to march on. Anthony had a really good idea. You know, we've got the game ones already that have happened. We're still waiting for the Stars, Golden Knights, Kings, Oilers to get started. But the other six series have all begun. I don't think anybody should panic. It's only one game. Hey, look, and Ranger fans saw they won the first two games on the road last year against New Jersey and ended up losing the series. So one game does not make a series, but Anthony had a good idea of who would you be the most concerned about.
I think someone should be panicking, Don.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know, we didn't talk about this,
like no.
Who should be panicking. But to me, the team that is in the most trouble, if you can be in that much trouble in one game, is Toronto.
Absolutely.
Because, all right, they lost one game 5-1, and a lot of people are going to throw the analytics out, and I've seen this narrative quite a bit that
see how angry Toronto is. They're calling you. They're so nervous.
No, they're actually, I got it said Montreal, Quebec, but
oh wow,
there's a lot of analytics that say that they had the better opportunities and all that. They obviously had a strategy that didn't work. Let's try to intimidate the Boston Bruins. And it played right into the Bruins' hands. And I know the power play had been a struggle against Toronto during the course of the season, but they made them pay. You know, down 3-0, but you're starting to see Toronto's getting some momentum, a dumb penalty by Domi, and Boston makes them pay. This is a veteran team. I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a cup team, the Boston Bruins. We talked about that going into the playoffs. But the one thing they are is experienced. Is that how you think you're going to win this series, Anthony, by trying to just goat Boston into penalties? That's not going to work. Trying to intimidate them physically, that's not going to work. I just thought their game plan was terrible, and Boston made them pay for it.
Yeah, look, Don, you nailed it. The intimidation factor was not a factor, quite frankly, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And my biggest concern is the only big-time scorer that scored for Boston was Jake DeBrusque. You had no goals from Marchand, you had no goals from Pastrnak, and you managed to win 5-1. That would be a concern for me if I was Toronto, because you could say, I mean, they played a great game, but you got fourth liner scoring, guys who I've never heard of scoring for Boston,
right.
And they win 5-1. You're thinking, okay, Pastrnak had a hat trick, Marchand was a factor. And of course, Marchand was a factor. Just because he wasn't on the score sheet for a goal did not mean he had didn't have an impact on the game. But I said this was going to be a narrative changing playoff, and again, this is just one game, but boy, oh boy, not the way you want to start if you're Toronto. And we kind of said, boy, did Boston dog that last game to get Toronto? Did they want to get Toronto? And boy, if that was the case, mission accomplished. Because
yeah,
if it looks like this, it is quite the it'll be quite the series for Boston. I don't anticipate it being this way. Like you said, it's just one game. Toronto got punched in the mouth about as hard as you can get punched in the mouth. So we'll see what happens, but I would be very concerned. Just the way that it looked and who scored and who didn't score. Austin Matthews, if there was any indication of being concerned, Austin Matthews missing a guy who scored 69 goals, missing a wide open net in a playoff game. Major, major, major concerns for Toronto.
No, that is a major concern. And another concern for me would be Alexander Georgiev.
Oh, man. Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah, and listen, that is going to be a fun series. We told you that. Two really good teams. 7-6 final score. You know, watching that one late and Hellebuck at least saw, he wasn't great either. You know, gave up that sixth goal. It pretty much was meaningless, although you did, you know, there was enough time that maybe if they dumped the puck in the zone and get possession that they could have still, you know, tied that game. But still, it was a very bad effort by Colorado, just the fact that they just didn't get any goaltending. I mean, they got the offense, we know, but They held Winnipeg to 23 shots, and Winnipeg scores 7 goals. I that's just awful. It's at least Hullabuck's faced 46 shots, and Hullabuck is a guy that's going to, I think, win his second Vezina Trophy, so we know his quality. We like Georgiev. We saw him with the Rangers, but he's been nothing but a backup goaltender, now given a chance to be the man, and we were concerned about him in particular going in, and I've got no reason to think that we were wrong to be concerned after game one last night in Winnipeg.
Yeah, it's almost the same kind of take that I had about Toronto, Don. You take a look at a game where you get 6 goals on who's going to be the Vezina Trophy winner, most likely, and Connor Hellebuck going away, and you don't win. That's a big, in Winnipeg, that's a big concern. You score 6 goals in Winnipeg. Colorado, as we've said, not a great road team this year. Amazing at home, but not a great road team. That's a game. You give up 6 goals, and I know they were down big, and they end up scoring some goals late, so it doesn't look as close as it was. But if you managed to get 6 goals past Connor Hellebuck, you got to win that game. Because I don't anticipate many 6 goal giving up performances by Connor Hellebuck. So that was tough. The first period was amazing. While Vancouver and Nashville lulled you to sleep in the beginning, I'm sure we'll get to that as well. But Georgiev is a concern. I know the backup was ill, so there really wasn't much you could do there. But boy, oh boy, that's coming off of getting stunned by the Kraken last year to put out that performance again with a team that they have with Makar and MacKinnon and all the players that they have. They should be much better. And they had the offense, but the goaltending is a massive, massive concern for this team right now.
And I don't know if you labeled it as a concern because not a lot of people gave them much of a chance in the series anyway, but not much of a resistance from Washington. Had just 21 shots on goal. You could see the game plan for the Caps with Wilson and just try to stir the pot, especially when they got down. I thought the Rangers did a pretty good job of not buying in to any of that stuff. Matt Rempe scores a goal, so that adds
Rempemania running wild
to the fuel of his folk heroism. I was in the building, the and place, people were chanting his name.
Don, tell me, did the place almost come apart? Because it felt like it was at the seams.
Well, they are chanting his name in warm-ups. They're chanting his name the second he jumps on the ice. When Wilson's on the ice and Rempe's not, they're calling for him, and then he scores the goal. And it's not a nothing goal. Good job out of him. Put himself in the right position. Broke a scoreless tie early in the second period. And one of a 4-goal outburst by both teams in a 3-minute and 14-second span. A scoreless tie became a 3-1 Ranger lead. And they were never really tested. The good news for the Rangers is all this narrative about 5-on-5, all their goals were scored 5-on-5. They were just the better team. You saw that. Now, can the Capitals play better? Of course they can. But you really could see why people looked at this as maybe the biggest mismatch of any of these series, maybe outside of Dallas and Los Angeles. Dallas and Vegas. Is that, you know, the Capitals minus 37 goal differential and got into the playoffs on the last day, and the Rangers are the President's Trophy winner, and that looked to be the case in game one.
Yeah, you nailed it, Don. It was a very a feeling out period for the Rangers and the Capitals in the first, and I give the Capitals credit. I think they had the better period in the first period. The Rangers really didn't have anything outside of their power play, and even that was not at its strongest. They block a lot of shots. It seemed like the only line at some point, and I was watching it on Natural Stat Trick, Don, because it just felt that way, and the stats backed it up. Do you know who the worst 5-on-5 line was for a majority of that game for the Rangers?
Who's that?
The Zibanejad line. And something about when he's out there, when that line's out there with the Miller pair, whoever Miller's with, they have a hard time getting out of the zone. That was the one goal they gave up in the second period. Overall, it was a very, very good game for the Rangers. But, hopefully that Roslovic stretch pass to Kreider springs that line a little bit, because that was the line I think that actually struggled the most. That fourth line, unbelievable. You want to talk about Barkley Goodrow and the hate that he's gotten from Ranger fans and how overpaid he is? If he's going to put together these type of 16 game season performances like he does in the playoffs, the Rangers are as deep a team as there is in the league, in the playoffs, and against a Washington team that, as we know, bad minus 37 goal differential heading in, don't have a whole lot of scoring. Ovechkin was pretty quiet, all things considered, with all the power plays they had. You got to feel good if you're the Rangers.
Oh yeah, you have to. I mean, I can't even remember if it's ever happened that the entire fourth line were the stars of the game. You know, the number three star was was Rempe.
And it was deserved.
Number two star was Barkley Goodrow with his two assists, and then Jimmy Vesey, who played great, was the number one star. I mean, you never see that happen. And then I thought that was a terrific goal by Panarin. Started on a great hit by Lafreniere at the boards, loosens the puck up, finds Trocheck. That was great. And as you said, Roslovic springing Kreider for the insurance goal at the end on the breakaway. So yeah, you got to feel good. It's only one game. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we saw what happened last year. Although last year, it kind of fed into the narrative of 5-on-5 because the Rangers were dominant on the power play to win those first two games in Jersey. The fact that this was a 5-on-5 effort, I thought Lindgren played well early, but then eventually the Rangers just got to him. They're the better team. The only thing that could beat the Rangers right now is themselves, or if they get caught up in the histrionics of Wilson, and you could see the frustration. I thought it was a very quiet night, as you said, for Ovechkin, very quiet for Oshie. And even the goal that they scored, you know, did it deflect off of Zibanejad's skate? You know, so even the one goal that they did score was not that big of a deal. They were early up 3-0, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. But the Capitals didn't put up much resistance. As far as Islanders and Carolina, that game went the way I think the series is going to go. And it's, in effect, a one-goal game because of the empty netter at the end to put the game away from Natchez. But it's just going to come down to, you know, just who gets that last shot, who gets that last opportunity, and it was Carolina on Saturday. I think if the Islanders go out there and play the same game tonight, they can even the series. They outshot Carolina. It's just the Hurricanes are just a better offensive team, and when they need the goal, they're going to get it. But I don't really have a problem with the Islanders' effort, and the same effort tonight can get them even in the series.
Yeah, Don, I hate to agree because it's just boring for a podcast, but I do agree. I think that actually, if you're the Islanders, you can feel pretty happy about the way you played. I think Carolina played the game they want to play, had some interesting penalty calls in that game for sure. Whether they were flops or not is another story, but to play as well as the Hurricanes did and only win 3-1 on an empty netter, I think you got to feel pretty good. If you're the Islanders, and yeah, like you said, if you come out and have that game again, Varlamov was okay. He was solid. You get a performance like that again. If you find some more goal scoring, you can win a game. You can win a game playing like that in the playoffs. Mm. So I that's a team. You want to talk about, you know, concern or not concern? I don't think the Islanders or the Hurricanes can be concerned. I think the Hurricanes did what they needed to do. I think the Islanders feel like we play that way. Pucks are going to bounce our way at some point. So I think you feel pretty good if you're the Islanders, and you should probably feel like you have a good shot to steal a game in Carolina and then head back to a place out on the island that is a house of horrors for teams. I mean, that place gets loud.
Yeah.
It is a scary place to play, and they seem to feed off the energy of that crowd better than almost any team in the National Hockey League. So to steal a game in Carolina would be huge for the Islanders, and you can hear that tonight on 1050.
And a guy that we forget about because he was acquired late, and he had been in the NHL's program, so he hadn't played in a while, is Kuznetsov. He could have very easily won the Conn Smythe when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, and he scores the first goal of the game on Saturday. So if he is going to be on top of his game, just another weapon that Carolina can use in these playoffs. So you know how I respect the Hurricanes, but I thought the Islanders played well. See if they can even it up. Panthers-Lightning was the first game yesterday, and kind of went the way we thought. You know, a very tight, close game, but when you look at 19 shots on goal for Tampa with all that firepower, it just shows you how good defensively the Panthers are. The Verhaeghe, who's been quietly very, very good for that team, got him going. Then Tkachuk gets the empty netter, and then Stamkos scores with 10 seconds to go to put a little bit of a scare on the power play. But overall, great effort for the Florida Panthers, not a surprise. Tampa's going to be tough to beat, but if they're going to get under 20 shots a game, I think the Panthers will take care of business.
Yeah, you know, Don, we said it, and we thought, boy, Tampa's going to be a tough team to play, and you take a look at the way they played, and you would say, absolutely, that is a team that is going to be tough to beat, but then you see who they're playing in Florida, who I thought could have been the President's Trophy winner this year, played like it for a majority of the year. It is not going to be a picnic, and you could definitely see Florida winning this series, no question about it. So, yeah, kind of exactly the way I thought it would play out. Sam Reinhart is proving to be an unbelievable player. He's just picking up where he left off in the regular season. Sergei Bobrovsky is certainly in a top higher echelon of goaltenders in the league. I think Vasilevsky is better. But with the firepower that Florida has to score from Reinhart to Tarasenko to Barkov to their blue line, they are going to be a tough out. And I think you saw that. I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa could win game two. And I wouldn't be surprised if this goes to be a 6 or 7 game marathon series that could be one of the best in the first round.
And I had picked Nashville to beat Vancouver.
Same.
I'm undeterred.
We felt really good
in the first game. Really comes down to two numbers for me, 47 and 12. What do I mean by that? It was killer to give up the Lindholm goal 47 seconds into the second period. Scored late in that first, and they've got the momentum. They quiet the building down, and then for Lindholm to score that early, you always hate to give up goals early and late in periods. But credit Nashville. They come right back on the O'Reilly power play goal, take it back up, and then the 12 is the two goals in 12 seconds from Suter and Joshua that gave Vancouver the lead, and then Joshua puts the empty net in to win the game 4-2. This is going to feel a lot like, I think, the Carolina Islanders series, where it's just going to be very, very close to the vest, not a lot of goals being scored. But you get moments like that, giving up a goal early in the period, giving up successive goals in a short period of time. Those are the things that are going to cost you, and it certainly cost Nashville last night.
Let me ask you something. We're all friends here. We can tell the people.
Yeah.
You weren't up for that game, were you?
I went to bed after the first period. Listen, I had a long day, and I got the kids getting up early. So I went to bed after the first, and then watched the highlights with the kids in the morning.
Listen, I will take the fall. I will stay up as much as I can for all of these games. I will do my best. I will be that guy. You pass the torch on to me, Don, and I will, because you have a lot of responsibilities, because you're a father, which is far more important than watching hockey and all the other things that are going on in your life. I will watch, and I watched, and you could just feel when that first goal went in. Oh boy. Vancouver's gonna turn this around in that third period, and it was 12 seconds. It was as instantaneous as that Rangers barrage where they scored three in like 3.5 minutes or whatever it was. And after that, Nashville had nothing.
Yeah,
and Soros couldn't see the second one for sure, and then the third one happened so quick from behind the net, it was over.
Yeah, it was no shot.
And look, we talked about it because we said, boy, you know, and this is, they actually had the blueprint. We said, you know what, a good defensive team can shut this Vancouver offense down, and in the playoffs, are these guys playoff ready? Do they have the ability to score in the playoffs like they did in the regular season? And for 2.5 periods, they didn't. But if they have that 3-minute stretch where they could score 2 or 3 goals on a very good goaltender in Juuse Saros, they could steal games. I'm not going to say that Vancouver stole that game, but it certainly felt that way. And Nashville can feel good about the way they performed up until halfway through the third period, but that doesn't get you a whole lot when you could have stolen a game one.
No.
Vancouver can use this as a springboard. I think they should feel really, really good about the way that they came back in that game. And it is going to, I still think that Nashville has a chance to win this series when they go back home. If they could steal one, if they could steal game two, we shall see. But it's certainly something to keep an eye on. A tremendous win for Vancouver. Partying like the Knick fans did after game one at MSG on Saturday, running around with a fake Stanley Cup in the streets. I don't know if you saw those videos, Don.
No.
So they're excited. They're excited to have a team that has a chance to go far here. And that bracket in my mind is wide open. Now, we haven't seen the Edmonton-LA series get underway. That'll be tonight. But that bracket, in my opinion, is wide open. And I think any of those four teams could be the ones to represent the Pacific bracket in the Western Conference Final. So a good start for the Vancouver Canucks.
I'm glad I saw the start of the game because it's great. Vancouver back in the playoffs, the fans singing the national anthem. That always gets me fired up. So I was glad I was able to see that. So then we got four more games tonight. So we're looking forward to getting everybody finally underway here in the playoffs. So tonight you got game two, Leafs and the Bruins, and the Islanders and the Hurricanes. And then we finally get games one late, 9:30, the Stars play host to the Golden Knights. That'll be on ESPN. Kings and the Oilers for a third consecutive year. Their game one will be at 10 o'clock, and that can be seen on ESPN2.
Here's a question for you, Don, before we start with the Twitter questions, and we'd love to hear from you all.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag game misconduct. In both the NBA and NHL, at the time of this recording, no road team has won yet.
Right.
Will we see it tonight? Will a road team win tonight? You, I assume, would be hoping that the Kings win tonight.
Well, since I have
because
the Kings,
you have
I'm
them.
Rooting. It's weird because I have the Predators and the Kings, and I'm rooting for Vancouver and Edmonton.
Yeah,
but still, There's the heart and the head, and then there's that whole.
I think Dallas will win their game. If you want to count game twos, not that it wouldn't count, but if we're talking about if all the game ones go through, there's only two more chances to do it. I think the best chance tonight would be L.A., even though they're actually higher, bigger dogs than Vegas. I think L.A. has a better chance to shock Edmonton at home. So I think that we will see one, and I think it will be L.A. tonight. I think L.A. will upset Edmonton in game one.
I think it'll be the Sixers, but that's a whole other conversation.
Oh!
Anyway.
Oh, more at 3 o'clock.
That's right. So if you're listening to this early, you get some controversy late. All right, let's hear from you at Don LaGreca and at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct. Our buddy Steve Brzezinski chimes in. Is this Rempe's chance to show the league that he is the real deal and could be a difference maker? Let's pump the brakes. It's very difficult to be a difference maker on a fourth line. All right, it's very rare you're going to get the minutes. I think he has proven that he is more than just a guy that can fight. And that's been proven throughout, that he's got a nose for the net, and they're going to want to roll four lines, and the one thing that you kind of concerned yourself with is the guy that's never played in the postseason before. Not concerned about Jimmy Vesey, he's been there, done that. Not concerned about Barkley Goodrow, he's won two cups in Tampa. So when you're rolling four lines, and they can make a change, they can bring Brodzinski back in. Eventually, if Hedl is going to play, might come at the expense of Rempe as well. So every night he's proving himself. But if you're going to roll four lines, that means Matt Rempe's the guy that's going to have to prove he belongs, and so far he has. I don't think you can be a difference maker per se, but I think he's proving that he's more than just a pugilist and that he can help this team win games.
I guess the question is, what did you think Rempe was before? Do you think he's just a meathead that's going to run around and try and
never
take elbows? No, I'm saying we didn't think that.
No.
So if you're of the belief or you're one of those people that thought Matt Rempe is just this big giant guy that's going to get into fights and play 7 minutes a game and possibly get you game misconducts, yes, he could be a bigger difference maker than that. But we saw it in the Flyer game, even when he fought Delorier, that him getting in front of the net is unbelievable. Even on the third goal, Don, where he doesn't elbow the Capital, but he does. He just his elbow kind of gets into the chest of the player
just
because of
so
how
much
big he is.
Taller than everybody.
He's just
else.
So much taller than everybody else. He is the one of the main reasons that puck goes in, because Charlie Lindgren could not see it. He had no idea where that puck was.
No, that hit on Malenstein.
That's what it was.
Was the one that made it made that happen.
Yeah,
and I can understand Carlson thinking it could have been a penalty, and maybe it could have been called.
It could have been.
But it wasn't,
and
that's it.
And look, in terms of that, yes, he could be a difference maker. He's a big body in front. He's bigger than Kreider. He was so confident. He was shooting pucks like Panarin on the top corner. You see that in the, I think it was the second period.
Yeah.
After he scored the goal, he's going up. He's trying to go up high on Charlie Lindgren like he's like he's the second coming of Bobby Orr. Like, it was unbelievable. So yeah, he could be a difference maker in the sense of, could he be like a Tom Wilson in his career? I'm not going to say he's going to get to 30 goals like Tom Wilson did, but can he be a fourth line player on a line where Barkley Goodrow is turning back the clock and looking like he was with those Tampa teams that made it to the Cup, and Jimmy Vesey, who's been a consistent player all year for this team, where you have no shifts off if you're an opposing team? Where, oh boy, the fourth line's out. They're just going to... They had the most... I think they actually had one of the highest highest 5-on-5 chances against for and against in the game for the Rangers. So if you have that, and your lines can't take off, and you're playing against third or fourth liners that aren't as skilled as those guys, it's going to be a long night for you and a long series for you. So can he be a difference maker? Absolutely. But I think that this is what Pierre Laviolette was saying when everyone was like, really? This guy's going to play fourth line minutes in the playoffs, and Peter said, "Yeah," and this is what he expected out of him.
Yeah, he also took a penalty early, which you don't want to see happen.
Yeah, that they called it tight for about 20 minutes, and then that
weird.
All went out the window.
Kelly Sutherland was calling everything, and then nothing was getting called. Very, 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 very interesting way the game was called for sure. Nicholas just wants to make a statement. Not only did the Rangers win convincingly, all four goals were 5-on-5. If they produce 5-on-5, they will not be stopped, and I tend to agree there. Anthony says, now that most series have been played, what is the biggest change in your thoughts about how a series will go? I think we addressed it at the top, Anthony. I'm not feeling great about my Leaf pick right now, the way things
Not went, at all.
That would be the only one. With 6 of the 8 series already underway, that's the only one that I would be like, I'm not sure about my pick. I'm still confident in Nashville. But Toronto, they put up a stinker tonight, then I would think that they're cooked.
Yeah, Toronto's my major concern. The concern about Georgiev was already there. And to, like I said, for Colorado, which I didn't think Colorado was going to win the series anyway. I thought it was going to be close, but I did have Winnipeg. To put six behind a Vezina Trophy finalist and not win is really a kick to the gut. So I think that, yeah, you should feel pretty concerned if you thought Toronto was going to make a run, because it's kind of looking like the same old song against a team that's the same old song for them. Hope I'm wrong. Hope we have really exciting series all around, except for the Rangers. But yeah, that's the, I think Toronto is where you have to have your concern.
You know, Hayward wants to know, is every game in that Winnipeg-Colorado series going to be a scoring fest?
No.
Well, no, from because Hullabuck is too good. But I don't know about Georgiev. I think it's going to settle itself down. 7-6 is no way to live. I'm not going to feel good about the winner of this series if all they're going to do is score a bunch of goals. That's no way to win a cup. Maybe it's just a one-game aberration, but it'll be close. It'll be interesting to see. You know, Colorado hasn't played a home game yet. Let's remember that. Winnipeg took care of business at home. We'll see what they do in game two, but I would suspect they'll dial it down just a bit. But if not, it'll be awful entertaining.
Look, I've seen Georgiev play exceptionally well in his career as a member of the Rangers and as a member of the Colorado Avalanche. I'm sure it's in there. I think his confidence right now is at an all-time low, I would imagine. But I could see one of these games being a 2-1 or 3-2 game. I know that that sounds crazy, given it was defense optional for a majority of that game. But never say never to anything. I don't know if you're going to get over-unders of 14.5 or 13.5 in these games every time. And I think that now that these teams know that they could score at will, there will be more of an emphasis to try and play a little tighter defensively on both sides. Because Connor Hellebuck can't feel good about his performance either. But
no, but he did face 46 shots.
Yeah, no.
But from Winnipeg's standpoint, you know, or for Colorado's standpoint, hey, we held them to 23 shots. We just need better goaltending.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But I don't – look, does Georgiev play game two? That's a whole other story. I think that if he does play again, I think you'll see a better Georgiev, in my opinion. I could be totally wrong on that. But, yeah, scoring – yeah, it might be one of the more higher scoring series that we see. I think Kings and Oilers has a chance to do that as well.
Yeah.
But the West is just so fast. You could just see the different style in play for like a Carolina Islander series that's a lot slower and heavier. And then you see Winnipeg and Colorado. Bucci probably needed like an energy drink after the first period with how much back and forth he had to call in such a short amount of time. I mean, it's going to be a fun series. I think that there will be a low-scoring game in it, though.
All right, so that was fun. So we're already underway. Two more series will get going tonight, as we mentioned. So we'll be back with you on Wednesday, hopefully, with EJ Raddick. So if you want to get in touch with us while these games are being played and different stuff while we're not doing the podcast, at Anthony Pusick and at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Let's do this again on Wednesday.
Let's do it.
All right. Should be a lot of fun. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.